Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio and Grant's with us. Yay.
Hello.
I love it when Grant's here.
Me too. We won't have him long. He has to go back to college.
Yeah, we take him back next week.
Yeah, next week. It's exciting. Well, we are going to discuss Matthew 16, 13 through 28, and later we will be discussing Matthew 17, 1 through 11. And we're going to talk about Peter's confession of Christ, and also we want to make sure that we all know that we need to be kingdom-minded.
Right.
You know, that it's all about God and all about what He wants us to do.
Yeah, I love these two passages. They've always been precious to me, mostly because I think I really identify with Peter.
I do too. I love him.
And so it's actually a big section of Scripture. Normally, I like to keep it all together. But because we're going to, it's really two different stories. But when I do this with my class, I have them actually do it all at once because I'm wanting them to catch the importance of the kingdom-mindedness that the author, Luke, is trying to get the people to understand. And actually, we're using Matthew's text that Matthew's trying to get us to understand. I also use it sometimes in the Luke. But anyhow, so within this, what we'll do, first 2 weeks, we'll focus in on the Matthew, on Peter's confession. And then the second 2 weeks, what we're going to do is we'll focus in on the transfiguration. But what I want us to understand is these two segments, even though the stories will be separate, the thought process has to be kingdom-mindedness because the ministry is coming to an end, and Jesus is wanting them to understand what's about to happen, and they're still not getting it, and He's trying to get them to understand they have to have their mind on the things of God. And so that's where we're going to go. So Grant's going to start us off with reading Matthew 16, verses 13 through 28.
Peter's Confession of the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But you," He asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but My Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on the earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven." And He gave the disciples orders to tell no one that He was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to point out to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. "Oh no, Lord, this will never happen to you." But He turned and told Peter, "Get behind Me, Satan. You are an offense to Me because you are not thinking about God's concerns, but man's." Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wants to come with Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of Me will find it. What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will reward each according to what he has done. I assure you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom."
May God honor the reading of His word. Amen.
Amen.
That is so good. Thank you, Grant, for reading. It's such an amazing passage of Scripture, and there is so much here that it's just action-packed. The first thing I want us to understand is we have to know this location of where they are at. Grant, do you remember Caesarea Philippi?
Yes, I do.
All right, what do you remember about the location?
I remember that Caesarea Philippi is different than Caesarea Maritime.
Right.
So those are two different locations.
Right.
But Caesarea Philippi, there is a kind of like a mountain-like thing there, and there are some sections in the mountain that are kind of carved out because there used to be temples there, but not temples to God, temples to other gods like to Zeus, and I think it was Zeus and Pan were the two temples that were there. So a lot of pagan worship went on kind of in slash at the base of the mountain.
Yeah, and there's a great big cave And in that cave, they called it the Gate of Hades. And the reason that that's why it was given that phrase was because it was a place that they did child sacrifices. And so what I want you to understand, but they had set this place up to be not just a place of worship, but it was a place that was meant for, they would come and it has a babbling brook and they would do their sacrifices and kind of almost spa, for lack of a better word, like their idea of what that would be back then. And so it was a place of opulence and worship that was to other gods. And so Jesus is standing in this region, and that is the context of what it's like. And then he asks them the question, who do the people say I am? So what we have to understand, he's standing where the people are worshiping false gods. And he wants the disciples to be thinking through how the people are thinking. And what are the people thinking? And so what does the disciples say that the people said, what the people think of Jesus? What did they call him?
Here the in people? Mm-hmm. John the Baptist.
And who? What else?
Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Elijah.
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
And the prophets.
The prophets. Yeah. Okay. And so they are listing out all that the people would call out with the prophets. And this is really cool. So in the Ultimate Bible Book Outline, they give – no, I'm sorry. This is Guzik. This is Guzik's thoughts. There was a connection with each of those prophets to Jesus. And so it's kind of cool, and you see, and that they say that some say that Jesus was like John the Baptist because he was the national herald to call people to repentance. Some were saying he's like Elijah because he was the one that worked miracles. And the reason why they said Jeremiah, because he was the one that spoke God's word. So it's showing how each of those prophets were pointing to Christ. And so they're thinking he is one of them, but it's to show that no, he's not. And so the people also expected Jesus to be a political leader, and he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so he's wanting the disciples to hone this in and get an understanding of who he is. And the reason why he does this is he gives them the broad picture, but then he narrows it in. And how does he narrow it in? What's the next question he asks?
Who do you say I am? He's asking personally.
Right.
Who do
who?
You think I am?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And who answers?
Peter.
Yay, Peter. I love you, Peter. Man, you're my brother.
He gets a good start because
he gets
a
good
knocked
start.
Down.
Yeah.
He does, doesn't he?
Verses.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is a very
just a few times
start.
In the Bible. Yeah.
But what we have to understand is when we go through this, we can identify and relate to Peter because mm-hmm. he's so like us,
yes.
right? And so he says,
foot
you are.
Foot in mouth.
Right. What does Peter say? You are.
The Grant Messiah. Said the Messiah. My Bible says the Christ.
Okay, same title. Mm-hmm. It's the same title. You are the Messiah, the Christ, mm-hmm. the Son of God.
Correct.
And so what we have to understand is that Peter, in those exact words, confesses what is the foundation for all of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That every foundation for us to be the body of Christ, it has to start with the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And without that confession, mm-hmm. we are not a part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We have to believe that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. And so those words are foundational for everything that Jesus is about to do at the cross. And so it's just a beautiful example of what we need to have. And so Peter makes this confession, and it's just, oh, wow, it's incredible. And so we're just blessed by that. And now if we take our time and we walk through, I want us to have that in our mind, and what we're going to do now is I want you to tell me everything that you see that we can learn from Peter in this passage. Just list out everything that you learn from Peter. Okay, so just examine it and just list it all out. Some of the stuff we've talked about, but if there's other things that you see as well.
Well, I think he's starting. He's not completely understanding, but he's starting to understand.
Okay.
Who Christ
good.
Is.
Okay, so it's not a perfect understanding,
right.
but it's the beginnings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
Okay, good. Good. What else?
Are we talking about the whole passage?
We're yeah, just about? The whole thing of there. Just whatever you think that it... So I like that he has a beginning understanding. I wrote down that he just doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it yet.
Yeah,
he's starting to.
He's also very bold.
Yeah. Very bold.
And like that boldness has a lot to do with like his very passionate belief. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, his very passionate belief in who Jesus is like what leads him to say like you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. You know, he doesn't just say like one of it. He says both aspects, you know, the Christ / the Messiah to the Son of the Living God. But then even that passionate belief is what later kind of gets him in trouble.
Yeah.
Because he's like recognizing like you're Lord of everything. Like you're in control of everything. And when like Jesus says that he's going to like be killed and all of that, he's like, oh, no, like that's not going to happen to you. Like come on. Like you're like over all of this, you know, like you're better than them. Like,
yeah. He starts to rebuke Christ. You know, I'm like,
and
very bold.
He's just like so almost enamored in his like belief of like who God is and his power that he's like not, as Jesus says later, like not seeing God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I had one commentator that said what we have to understand is that he spoke in his boldness because he thought he had heard from God. And I had never ever really thought about that because Peter had just been commended by Christ. You heard this from God. You did not hear this from man.
Yeah.
And so just as boldly when he's like, come here, brother, let's go to the side for a second. Let me say something. This is not happening.
Now and you're doing the opposite.
He's thinking he's hearing still from God. And as we go into the next 2 weeks, after these 2 weeks, we'll go into the transfiguration. We're going to see that he's also going to hear from the Father's voice. And so Peter does have the ability to hear from God, but in a second, what happens? It only takes a second.
He listens to himself and assumes like that is God.
Right. and so that's to show that we can be very much have our beliefs right, we can have our walk right, we can be in pursuit of the right thing, but in a split second we can get distracted with what we're doing. And okay, so I wrote down, I love the fact that he recognizes Jesus' sonship. Hmm. I mean, that's key. I said that at the beginning. It's foundational. All the commentators are like, this is foundational. Without this belief, you're not a part of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.
Right.
So that is key foundational. So he has the key foundation. He does hear from the Father. Because Jesus states it very clearly. Mm-hmm. You got this from the Father. You did not get this from man.
That's right.
The things that they were saying about what the people were saying, that was what from man. But this, being able to say that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, that's something that God gave him. So he does hear from the Father.
Mm. It's revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I love that. And I also love that we know very clearly he's been chosen. He has been chosen. Jesus says, you have been chosen to build the kingdom. You've been chosen because he knows how to confess, how to get to the Messiah. And I also, although it is in the wrong way, he's protective of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he is intended to be protective. And I think of myself as a mom, how often I can be protective of my children, but it's really in the wrong way.
Almost too much protection.
Right.
Yeah.
And that I've got to be careful about how I say and do things because it's very easy for me to trip over to where it's more like a stumbling block or mm-hmm. something.
And that's what Jesus says to him.
I chose
get
that word.
Get behind me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He does rebuke back. Jesus, he disciplines when we're out of his will, or
yeah,
you know, he wants us to bring us right back.
Completely.
And that's exactly what he did with Peter.
Exactly, exactly. The other thing I wrote down is that Peter doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. Jesus is, you know, he's always in the process of getting us ready, and this is a sure sign he's not there yet, and that's okay. I also noted he wanted to honor Jesus. Like, his heart was to honor Jesus, but in the moment where Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," his attempt to honor Jesus was actually not good. And so we can actually, in our attempt to honor God, not do it right. And so a question I want to challenge us to ask ourselves, what am I saying and what I am doing, does it build the kingdom? Does it glorify God? That should be first. Does it glorify God, and does it build the kingdom? And then evaluating it, because even though my attempt to be honoring, if it's not giving God glory and it's not building the kingdom, we have to kind of wonder if it's something that we should be saying or doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that to be legalistic, and I'm not saying that to rip us away from, you know, things that are fun. I'm just talking about the stuff that we are doing for the purpose of kingdom building.
Right.
And so just to ask that question of ourselves.
It's kind of like, do you honor God in what you're doing? Your words, your actions are important.
Yeah, I can remember in high school, my friend Marie's mom and I were just sitting and having a conversation. And I don't know, we were talking about something in high school, and I don't even remember it was, because I really didn't hang out with rough kids or anything like that, and didn't do the stuff that would cause a person to do bad things. But she just put the challenge to me. She's, Tara, you should just always be asking, if I'm doing this, would I be willing to do this or to say this if Jesus was sitting with me?
I used to tell my Bible study class of VBS, we always had a chair, and that's where Jesus sat. And I said, you know, when you go out and you're not in this class with us, just think about that chair that's sitting beside you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you don't think about it, it has to be on your mind.
Yeah, you have to make yourself conscious. And it's really crazy. In my lifetime, because she said it to me my senior year in high school, my life took a turn for some bad choices, and my first few months, year in college, and it was that question that got me back.
Yeah,
getting me back on my mind on the things of God, and that's what this passage is about, is to get our mind on the things of God. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. Come back, you got to hear the rest, because next time we're going to discuss about Jesus.